live for another great edition of Strong Style. That is Impact Media's weekly dive off the top rope, of course, into the world of mixed martial arts and professional wrestling. I'm your host, Jeremy the Impact York. Welcome in. There are tons and tons of things to get into. In fact, gosh darn it, there was one that even snuck up on me. And we're going to start right there. But first, I want to tell you that if you would like to help support the podcast, obviously you can go visit some of our affiliates and sponsors such as BetOnline.net. Go visit the Buttered Udder if you get a chance. Also, anywhere you find a podcast, give us a rating, review, question, comment, suggestion. Anything that helps the show, they definitely look at those things. It definitely helps with a lot of the metrics and the funnel numbers and things like that. Of course, you can find us Podcast One. You can find us Spotify, iTunes Store, all of those fun places. If you want to search for us on Facebook, you can look up Impact Media. You can look up Strong Style. You can look up Jeremy York. Any of those should work. You can do this across all platforms, by the way. These are just the direct ways to find us. If you just want to be able to click on the show and follow the link and listen to the show, you can go to Twitter at Team Impact Media. Just make sure you're clicking on the show that you want to listen to, because we do post all of them on there. It is our kind of unofficial, official hub for now until we rebuild the website, which we are working on. Appreciate you guys' help on that as well. If you are so inclined to want to follow myself, where you will find not only the show links, but when I live cover events and various things like that, and sometimes I'll just find a fun meme and put it up. But either way, at the Impact 99 on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, or Triller, we'll find that. And if you just want to email the show, any of our shows, about anything, if you're emailing about this show, then by all means, in the subject line, put Strong Style. But you can email us at any point, 3endzone@gmail.com. That is the number 3endzone at gmail.com. I personally respond to all messages, emails, and everything. I promise you that is me. Now, let's talk some MMA, right? Let's talk some mixed martial arts. We're going to start with the people who had an event over the weekend, and that, of course, would be Bellator, who had Bellator 285 over the weekend, where Benson Henderson and Peter Queeley went at it. Benson Henderson has been doing it for such a long time. Peter Queeley, kind of the up-and-comer. He's taken out a Pitbull brother or so. He's done a really good job. This division is unbelievably loaded. And what happens? This thing goes to decision. It goes to decision. And as it goes to decision, Benson Henderson ends up as your victor. Fantastic. Didn't help my picks. I did okay on the picks. But I really thought Queeley could take this one. But, hey, Benson Henderson just continues to prove me wrong. He had a great showing. He absolutely won the fight. I cannot disagree with this decision whatsoever. So congratulations to him on that. By the way, this whole event was at the 3 Arena in Dublin, Ireland. The crowd response and the community support they get in Ireland, as much as I don't want them to move from the United States, if you told me Bellator was going to relocate to the England-Ireland area, it would make a lot of sense. They have a killer market over there, which it's a good market anyway. But they did fantastic over there. Big win for Benson. Yoel Romero with the KO, not a TKO, the KO of Melvin Manoff. Man, this fight was off the charts. It was fantastic. So much fun to watch. Yoel Romero, we keep counting him out, and I'm one of those people, and I don't know why. I wasn't really counting him out. I just thought Melvin was going to win this one. Melvin has had to go against the murderer's row of people. It's just crazy, but I can't defend anything. I can just say that Yoel Romero absolutely was the better fighter that night, and he gets the big KO victory. How about one pick that I completely nailed? Completely got this pick completely right. Leah McCourt gets the decision win over Deanna Silva. Good fight. Good fight. Deanna was bringing everything. She brought the kitchen sink twice coming at Leah like that. And in the end, Leah McCourt says, nope, this is my fight. This is my win. She gets the decision win. The women's featherweight over in Bellator is outstanding. The mashups that you can get out of that weight class, wow. It's a fun, fun division. And while we're at it, before we get too far into it, shout out to Chris Cyborg, who made her boxing debut, I believe, over the weekend, and I believe got a decision win. So congratulations to her on that. Bellator let her, I think she still has one fight left on her contract with Bellator. They let her go do this boxing match, and she did really good. Up next was... Let me see if I can find. Something has went awry with my results, so give me just a second here. Ah, there you go. Had to just refresh the screen. Thanks, producer Sassy, for figuring that out for me. I don't know what I'd do without my producers here. They can fix random things that happen. Love it. Pedro Carvalho gets the unanimous decision win over Mads Burnell. I really thought Mads was gonna really take this one, but in the end, Pedro gets the decision. Once again, I agree with it. And then lastly, Sirian Clark gets the submission win over Raphael Hudson. Does it by submission. It was a rear naked choke, 2.5 minutes, almost 3 minutes into round number three. Sirian Clark, man, that they were eating him up in Ireland. They like that kid, and he's still undefeated. Raphael Hudson, he was fighting a good fight, almost made it to the end, ended up not making it to the end, but great overall card. Undercard had a bunch of big stuff as well. There was one on the undercard that I wanted to mention. It was... There it is. Luca Poklet defeating Dante Shiro via a technical submission because they didn't really know what to call it. It was a modified arm triangle late in round number two. Go back and watch that. If you can find a video or go back and get the pay-per-view and watch it, it was something special, man. It was crazy what Luca put on Dante like that. And this is the one that snuck up on me. 285 just happened. They normally like to put theirs 2 or 3 weeks apart, and as I was making sure I had the results keyed up for this, I realized they have an event this weekend. Bellator 286, the Long Beach Arena in Long Beach, California, and the way that I was actually reminded of it was I got a notification saying that all available media can come down and come down to the arena to cover the fight. Now, I'm not anywhere close to Long Beach. I appreciate Bellator extending the offer, but another time, absolutely for sure. spot down in Long Beach. You would think, coming off a big Ireland card, you know, the UFC does this. They'll have a giant card, and then they'll have a bunch of cards, a bunch of smaller ones, of people you hadn't heard of, but they're going to be killer fights. Well, I can do you one better. This one, out in Long Beach, California, the main event is Patricio Pitbull. Yeah, that guy, who is the featherweight champion of the world, is going to face Adam Borix, the 18-1 phenom. Man, this is going to be fun. Brazil versus Hungary. And that is another way. I know it's a different way to spell the word, but that is what Adam Borix is. He is hungry to not only take out a Pitbull brother, but to do it for the featherweight main event title. This is going to be fun because I think these two are going to trade punches back and forth, maybe some body kicks and some fun stuff there. Then they're going to hit the ground. It's going to look like the best fight you've ever seen. And then one of them are going to get the victory. Who do I think is going to do it? Man, I could argue either way. I could definitely argue either way on this. And this is not some way to just philander around just so I can come up with who I think is going to win. It's like this. For everything that Patricky and Patricio Pitbull have done for Bellator, put the company on their back so many times, I had just the utmost respect and appreciability. I probably just made up a word. So appreciative of what they did. I just think that you have this young generation and they're going to do everything they can to hang on to it. But I think this young generation, they're hungry. They're starving. And it's not for attention. It's to show everybody those skills and how good they are. I've got Adam Borix being your new featherweight champion of the world. I'm taking Adam Borix. For my official picks, if you guys want to hit me up separately, I'll give you a round and way I think he's going to win, things like that. But that's a big fight. And there's one right behind it, the co-main event in the lightweight division. AJ McKee at 18-1. Boy, that's a real popular record. Is taking on the 13-3-0 Spike Carlisle. This, if Patricio and Adam Borix are not on the card, this is the main event. And you could argue that if it wasn't for the featherweight title, maybe AJ versus Spike could trump that. But AJ got his first loss, I think last time or the time before that. He's looking to battle back. Him and Spike, man, it's going to be a war. It's going to be an absolute war, and I am all for it. I'm going to take AJ McKee in that battle. And here's another one. If those two aren't on there, then the third fight. I'm going top to bottom. I'm just going main card. You guys know that. How about Aaron Pico? Featherweight contender Aaron Pico is taking on Jeremy Kennedy. Boy, he's got a good name, right? Man, this is going to be fun. This, tune into Showtime. Find this fight. Find these fights. These are going to be just extraordinary. I believe they are Friday. I will... Saturday, October 1st. Man, these are going to be fun. 10 p.m. Saturday at 10. Watch your college football all day, and then after you've settled in, after a nice day of watching college football, find ShowTune, find the Showtime app. And when you find Showtime, you find Bellator MMA. That's pretty unbelievable matchups out of the gate. Just for the sake of it, I would normally pick Aaron Pico, but not very often do you see good fighters named Jeremy. I'm going to take Jeremy Kennedy to beat Aaron Pico. I think that one ends early. Either Aaron or Jeremy are going to end this early. I hope it's Jeremy that does it. How about another big name? It's just another big name. If this is This feels like I'm trying to sell you a timeshare package, or I'm trying to sell you on a CD. Look it up, folks. CD. But I just tell you, great artist after great artist and so on. How about fight number four? Juan Archuleta, the bantamweight. Juan Archuleta. Everybody knows that name. Versus Enrique Barzola. Are you kidding me? Once again, these are four main events, and they're all on the same card. And they just got back from Ireland. How unreal is this? This is good, Bellator. You got me, man. You absolutely got me. Juan Archuleta versus Enrique Barzola. I really like Archuleta. I really do. But I think Enrique Barzola is going to take this one. I'm going to take Enrique Barzola. So, to recap, I will take Adam Borix over Patricio Pitbull for the featherweight title in the main event. In the co-main event, I'll take AJ McKee to bounce back from that one loss he got over Spike Carlisle. My goodness, if you're an MMA fan and you're not excited by this, then you need to check your pulse. I'm going to take Jeremy Kennedy because he's got an awesome name over Aaron Pico. Hey, sometimes you got to find some way to pick one way or the other. I think they are very equal fighters. And I'm going to take Enrique Barzola over Juan Archuleta. Look, I could go through the prelims, but this show would be 2 hours long. Just outstanding. Just outstanding card. So, that being said, there was not a UFC last weekend. I know, it's so crazy. They, like, did an event, took a week off. Did an event, took another week off. They're entitled to it. They've been going so hard and fast since the shutdown. Now that we're coming out of all that, they're wanting to catch us all up. UFC Fight Night coming up this weekend. You get Mackenzie Dern versus Yan Zhaonan. My goodness. My goodness. I know what some of you are going to say. I can already see the messages coming in now. I already know what you guys are going to say. Well, if this is such a great matchup, where would this be on that Bellator card you just mentioned? Mackenzie Dern versus Yan Zhaonan? I would put it, let's be honest, I would put it third on that card. It's not bigger than the first two. It's not bigger than Borix versus Patricio, and it's not bigger than AJ McKee, Spike Carlisle. But it's right there with Pico Kennedy. It's right there with Archuleta Barzola. I 1,000% believe that. This whole card, by the way, is ESPN Plus. This is on... Ooh, they are going to be going... Nope, they're going to be on early on. Can we see... Do we know when that particular thing... We're producer Sunshine. She is on top of this. She is going to figure this out. It looks to me... We don't quite know. It's probably earlier during the day or right around 7, I would imagine. But this is basically UFC Fight Night is going to be on right before Showtime has Bellator. I'd be willing to bet. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But Fight Night, this one, I believe, is from the Apex in Las Vegas. I actually met somebody through other media ventures I do that got to take a tour of the Apex out in Las Vegas, and they said it is video game unreal, the facility that this is. Because, I mean, they got to see the training room. They got to see the whole shebang and everything, and just said it was unbelievable what they put together. But let's talk about it. These two are very, very high up in the women's strawweight division. You could argue that either one should be in line for a title contention sometime soon. I'll tell you right now, I'm taking Mackenzie Dern. I think Mackenzie Dern is she is a solid fighter when she wants to be. She is a scrappy fighter when she wants to be. And I actually think that she's going to try to keep this on the feet a lot. And if Yan tries to take this to the ground, then I think Mackenzie Dern's just going to end it right there. Like I said, Yan is a fantastic fighter. You get minus 240 for Dern. Zhao Nan is plus 200. Those are not bad numbers for either one. I still think Mackenzie's going to win, and I look forward to seeing what her and Yan do moving forward from here, because even whoever wins this, we know where they're going. Whoever loses this, I think, should pretty much keep their spot and be one fight away again. Also, we're going to get Randy Brown versus Francisco Trinaldo. Randy Brown is the minus 310 favorite, plus 250 for Francisco Trinaldo in the welterweight division. I got Randy Brown in this one, not because he's the heavy favorite. I think he is the better fighter. I think he is... he's going to continue to move forward in the welterweight division. Francisco is good, and he does have he has more than a puncher's chance to beat Randy. I just think Randy is too good skill-wise that everything he does well is not going to do is not going to play into Francisco's defenses. I think Francisco is going to have a hard time dealing with Randy Brown. Rayoni Barcelos is taking on Trevin Jones. Barcelos is a minus 230 to a plus 190 for Trevin Jones. I've actually got Trevin Jones in this one. I feel like in the bantamweight division, I feel like he is going to bring the high intensity, the high energy, and I think that he is going to probably win a decision with Barcelos, who is an equal quality opponent. Sadiq Youssef is a minus 900 over Don Shaynes. It was a plus 600. If you are so inclined to want to throw down a couple ducats on Shaynes as a flyer, he could win this. Sadiq is the big favorite and should be your pick, but at minus 900, I am not touching that bet. But at plus 600, like I said, if you want to throw a couple sand dollars or so down on Don Shaynes, why not? It's worth a shot. If it pays off, it pays off. If not, you only had a couple bucks, right? But I'm taking Youssef in that one. And finally, last on the main card, John Castaneda at a minus 190 is taking on Daniel Santos at plus 160. That is pretty close to being a 50-50 fight there. I'm going to take Daniel Santos, actually, who is a slight dog. This is a catchweight fight, and I just think Daniel Santos is going to find a way to win that one. All kinds of other ones on the – I'm not going to go through the rest of them, but Aliyah Latifi and Alexia Linick are going to go at it, two heavyweights that are just going to smash each other. Jessica Penne and Tabitha Ricci, that's going to be fun. Joaquim Silva, Jesse Ronson, Christoph Jocko against Brendan Allen. That should be on the main card, but the main card is loaded. And Julia Stolarenko versus Chelsea Chandler. That's going to be ridiculous. That's going to be ridiculous. So, once again, Bellator and UFC are bringing it. I don't have all the details yet. I will have more of them next week. But I do know the PFL Championship is going to be, I believe, in November. And it's going to be in New York City. And like I said, I will have more information on that next week. But for now, that is all the MMA for our show tonight. Before we get into pro wrestling, let's take a quick break so that you can hear about our good friends at betonline.net. And make sure to visit them because they are doing some fantastic stuff and we appreciate their support. But we'll be right back after this message from betonline.net.
Hi, this is Jeremy the Impact York from Strong Style, Board Check, and That Sports Show. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your pro and college football betting needs and sports info this season. Find all the latest football league developments, game matchups, news, including this year's opening games. BetOnline is also your continued source for all your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MLB, MMA, boxing, and golf. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find those at BetOnline as well. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and actions. BetOnline, where the game starts.
And we're back here on Strong Style. Welcome back. So much to talk about. Absolutely so much to talk about. Make sure you go see our friends at betonline.net. They do the articles. They do the podcast. They do so much of the work for you. And though they're not setting you up so you can lose, go check it out. They set the great lines. They just unbelievable work they do there, and we appreciate their support. Now, let's talk some professional wrestling. I'm going to start with AEW, who had their event last week through Wednesday and Friday's Dynamite and Rampage Grand Slam. I'm going to start with Dynamite, and we open up with DeSepto, as known as the seven-time champ, world champ, Chris Jericho, facing the current Ring of Honor champion, Claudio Castagnoli. For people who think that, for one, Claudio is not big enough to carry a main event, you're mistaken. For people who think Jericho is fat, old, and ugly, you are mistaken. These two tore up the place to start with. They set a bar so high that it actually had the match that followed it not played out the way it did. I could have seen people leave after that because it would be so hard to live up to it. Instead, it just built on it. This thing goes back and forth. It absolutely should. A bunch of false finishes as the things we definitely knew were coming. And then the unexpected. Your winner and new Ring of Honor heavyweight champion, Chris the Ocho Jericho. Chris Jericho is now, I just think that they must have bigger things for Claudio to do because he did such a fantastic thing with Ring of Honor. At some point, I feel like they're going to split Ring of Honor into its own thing and it'll be back on TV. And at some point, I feel like there's going to be a little bit of a realignment with the Ring of Honor, I mean, with the AEW Dynamite and Rampage stuff each week. But good for Chris Jericho. He is an 8-time world heavyweight champ. It's hard to say he doesn't deserve it. It was a great win over Claudio, who, like I said, will bounce back. I could see him doing some things here soon. We will see what he does. Tonight, as actually they're probably performing right now. And like I said, had the match that followed it not played out the way it did, I could have seen a riot out of the crowd because they were going ballistic when Jericho won because a lot of them thought it was crazy. And I'd say about 2/3 of the crowd were just bewildered and shocked and a little upset. And 1/3 of them were going crazy for Y2J. So overall, that's a great reaction. They followed that up with Swerve Strickland and Keith Lee defending their tag team championships versus the Acclaimed. I don't know why they keep bringing random rappers and things with them, but Fabulous was with Swerve and Lee, and DJ Woo Kid, I believe it said, or Woo Kid, I can't remember which one. He came out with the Acclaimed, who of course had Billy Gunn with them. Now, this thing was going back and forth. You kind of kept getting the overbearing feeling that Swerve and Lee were going to win, but how are they going to win? Was Swerve going to cheat? Was Keith Lee going to do some just incredible maneuver? They're going to do a double team. And then we got the curveball. The curveball was that Billy Gunn did a famouser on the outside on Swerve. And when he was thrown back in, the Acclaimed put the finisher real quick. And your new, this is two for two now on the matches on Grand Slam, your new tag team champions in All Elite Wrestling, the Acclaimed. So happy for those guys. So happy. I'm a big fan of that tag team. They work hard. They finally are all healthy. They are going to be fantastic tag team champions. Great for them. Absolutely ecstatic. We follow that up with FTR, the Gun Club, getting into a verbal altercation in the pack. That's going to help the Gun Club. And it's going to give FTR some cannon fodder to shoot off next time they face. We get Yuta and MJF who get into it. W. Morrissey comes out and drops Yuta. Orange Cassidy was actually in the next match. Be interesting to see what they do with Claudio and with Yuta now that things are a little different. Orange Cassidy, as I said, took on Pac for the All-Atlantic title. These are two guys whose styles, like I said last week, just do not typically match up very well. Except for this time they did. And this, let me glance over real quick, make sure I'm not missing one. All right, this was probably second best match of the night. And I will let you know when we get to them. I'm not going to tell you what it is until we get there. This was just so good. And in the end, Pac retains. He keeps his All-Atlantic belt. He did use the hammer for the ring bell to his advantage, but it is what it is. They didn't see it. He was able to win. Kind of interesting that he needed that to beat Orange, but that's what he did. We got Toni Storm defending her title against Dr. Britt Baker DMD. Athena and Serena Deeb. In the end, Jamie Hayter come out, and after everything was over, Toni Storm ends up with the win, but Britt dropped her, and Deeb was taking care of Athena. Jamie Hayter come out. We're not sure which side she was going to be on, and then she shows everybody that she's forgiven Britt. She's back on her side. And then who comes out to even the odds? How about Saraya? I know half of you guys have just spit whatever you were drinking probably all across whatever listening device. I apologize. You should get a towel for that. Part of you guys just probably fell over. And then part of you guys are like, who the hell is Saraya? Well, Saraya is her real name, and it's what she went by on the indie scene back in England with her brother before she got signed to WWE and took over our televisions as somebody named Paige. Ringing some bells now? If not, look it up. Seriously. And if you don't know who Paige is, seriously go look it up. Watch some more wrestling, then come back and listen to my show. But I know I have smart listeners out there. You guys know exactly who I'm talking about. But it seems like she's cleared for action. Not sure exactly what could have happened if she is 100% cleared or if it's a different kind of role for her. But it looked like she's ready for action. And I would imagine, if so, by this week or next week, we will see her in the ring again. And I can't wait. She adds a whole new dimension to the women's division that they didn't know they were missing, but they 100% were. The women's division there is just on fire. And then we get to the main event of the night that was that is the best match on the entire card. John Moxley versus his Blackpool Combat Club brethren, Bryan Danielson, in the finals for the outright heavyweight championship of AEW. Remember, they had that tournament. These two end up in the finals. Danielson had to do one extra match and get through, where Moxley got the bye in the first round. This was everything you thought it would be and more. If I told you that two William Regals were going to fight each other and destroy each other in a ring, and the winner is the winner, that's exactly what happened here. Danielson with his holds and maneuvers and counters. I mean, he is like part Bret Hart, part Dean Malenko. I can't even think of a submission guy that's even close to what he does to throw in that part. And then you get Moxley, who is just an all-out, just one of the best professional wrestlers on the planet right now with the things he does. He's got his brutal style and just does not care. He's going to take you out so that he wins. What a great match. Just a fantastic match. And while I would have liked to see Bryan Danielson get the win, John Moxley gets the win, I am not upset at that at all, because we know what awaited the winner. There's a guy who won a poker chip, a giant poker chip named MJF, that was up in the box watching this. At some point, he is going to cash in that poker chip to get his world title match. I do think it's going to be a minute. I think they should build him up a little more. They should have him and Moxley cross paths with each other, get into it a little more. But Moxley needs a couple opponents first before they get more into him and MJF, because you could really build that into a probably 2 or 3 match triple payoff, and it'd just be unreal. Let's go to AEW Rampage, continuation of Grand Slam. We had the House of Black, otherwise known as Buddy Murphy and Brody King. New one, Brody Lee. Brody King. With Julia Hart, who seems to be embracing. You know, Malakai Black left the company. He got his release. Some people say he's going to WWE. Some people say he's going to work on his mental health. Some people, I mean, say what you want. We don't know. I wish him the best. Whether he wants to come back, whatever he wants to do. Malakai is a heck of a talent. Whatever he needs to do to make himself happy, that's what he should do. Swig of coffee. I would tell you what kind of coffee, but they do not sponsor the show. It was good coffee. We'll get the House of Black with Julia versus Sting and Darby. And some sort of no DQ brawl match or something. I didn't know the stipulation going in. I just know that they tore the house up. They didn't tear it down. They tore it up. And in the end, Julia Hart actually ends up going through a table. She almost missed the back of the table. It looked like a pretty nasty fall. She seems to be okay. But in the end, what swung things toward the side of Sting and Darby, who ended up in the win, was the great Muda, who apparently is on his swan song tour. Basically, is on his way out, but Muda is going to stick around AEW for a little while. He came down, spit mist in the face of Murphy, where Sting was able to take him out. And then we get the big embrace with Sting and Muda. My goodness, my childhood self was going bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A. Bananas. Sting and Muda, they used to face off so many times in WCW when I was a little kid. Big fan of both. That was so cool. I do want Muda to stick around a little bit. Fantastic moment. Then we get Matt Menard and Angelo Parker, who are by far the two most annoying people in AEW. So great work, fellas. That is part of your goal, and you are doing a fantastic job at it. They took on Hook and his friend Action Bronson. If you don't know who Action Bronson is, I implore you to Google him, and you will find out that he is a very, very accomplished rapper and musician in the professional world. I implore you to do that after you see the replay of this match, because Action Bronson I don't know how long he's been training. Apparently Taz has had a hand in training him a little bit, and Hook. He was not bad at all. For his debut match, he even wrapped to the ring. That was fantastic. Action Bronson, man, he had a pretty good debut. Wasn't quite Logan Paul, but it was good. It made sense. There was no, they didn't feed any good, easy moments into him. Menard and Parker were putting it on him, and he come out smelling pretty good there. A couple roses. It was good. And, of course, Bronson and Hook get your win. But, hey, if he's going to stick around for a little while, him and Hook, they could be a factor in the tag division. Definitely so. We finally got to see one of my favorites from Ring of Honor that wasn't sure what was going to happen when Ring of Honor kind of went through the hiatus. Josh the Goods Woods teamed up with his buddy Tony Nese. They had Smart Mark Sterling. And they took on Wardlow and Samoa Joe. Kind of good back and forth. I really want to see more Josh Woods versus Samoa Joe and Josh Woods versus Wardlow, because Woods is a really, really good talent. And Nese is good and polished, but Woods has some potential that he can go super clean and he can go super brutal. And I think that is, he was pure champion for a long time in Ring of Honor. He was actually the last pure champion up until recently when they re-kicked everything back off, and he actually lost it to Yuta, I think, is who he lost it to, who lost it to Daniel Garcia now. But just good match. Just four people who understand. If you throw in Sterling, five people who understand what they're doing. We almost get to see Sterling get powerbombed, and Nese and Woods were able to get him out of the ring. But I look forward to these four tangling up again very soon. Jungle Boy took on Rey Fénix in a match that we didn't think we would get to see, but we absolutely have gotten to see it. And this was a really, really good match. Jungle Boy ends up with the win. And see, here's the thing. Is a lot of people say, well, Jungle Boy is supposed to be taking on Christian, and Christian is using Luchasaurus as a minion, or did Luchasaurus join back up with Jungle Boy? It was this whole convoluted, crazy, just mess. Think of a tea pitcher full of black ink and just dump it on the floor. That's about how clear it was. So not to be outdone, after Jungle Boy beats Rey Fénix in just an ungodly great match, we see Christian. And then Luchasaurus comes out and attacks Jungle Boy. And it seems like Luchasaurus has been cleared to wrestle again. So we're going to get Jungle Boy Luchasaurus. Christian's still in a sling. I hear he's going to be out a little while. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that. Christian could still do some things while being in a sling. And it could also be like the Bob Orton Jr. stuff, Randy Orton's dad, where he wore a cast for 5 years. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. But good to see Jungle Boy get a really good win. Him and Fénix, yeah. I mean, it was like two lightning bolts fighting in a hamster wheel. It was just insane action all over the place. We got to see Eddie Kingston versus Sammy Guevara with Ty Conti, or Ty Bello, Mello, Ty Mello. I don't know. She married Sammy Guevara and then changed her name, and it just become weird. But she did factor into the end of this. Ty did, along with Anna Jay, and it's just, I knew Guevara would need some help, but he used some help. He beats Kingston. I don't think the rift between them is over. And I look forward to Kingston getting back at Guevara, because I'm just not a fan of what Sammy's done in the last 9-10 months. We get Jade Cargill versus Diamante. This is a weird matchup to me. I knew Diamante was not going to win. They did about 10 minutes of actual build up for this, and then just kind of dropped it on us. We knew Jade was going to win. She's like 38. No, I don't know. I don't care anymore. That title doesn't mean anything to me. But one of her baddies, otherwise known as the rest of her faction there, a little fun fact here, and I'm talking about Kiera Hogan, Kira Hogan and I believe Diamante, I believe they are a couple, which they've been a couple for a while, if it is who I think it is. Diamante is a fantastic wrestler. Fantastic. Kira's pretty good, too. So it was fun, and Diamante did get in some good work towards Jade that did make her still like a strong competitor, but in the end, Jade just kind of hits her three moves of doom and, you know, cut the lights out on your way out. I said they tried to do the Goldberg thing here, where they have her come in, she's super green, try to make her into a monster, into a big killer, and she's okay, she's getting better, but I'm just not believing her as a top talent. So, it is what it is. That led us to the main event, which was the Golden Ticket Battle Royal. Well, it's not a main event; it's a co-main event. The Golden Ticket Battle Royal. They just had a match where MJF gets a title shot. I guess the Golden Ticket Battle Royal does the same thing. I just think you don't get to call your shot. I think it's a predetermined time. And Hangman Page ends up winning this one, which is fun. And it's good to know because we still don't know when the Young Bucks are going to be back. We don't know if it's suspension related or they just took time. We don't know when Kenny Omega is going to be back. Last we saw him, he was pushing the video game in Japan, the AEW video game that he helped design. He's a big gamer, by the way, guys. I don't know if you guys know that, but Kenny Omega is a giant gamer. Him and Xavier Woods from WWE are big friends because they constantly play against each other. Don't know when CM Punk or Ace Steel could be back. Don't know if Ace Steel's even with the company. But with those four main people out, you need Hangman Page even more because you Moxley is going to need competition. Moxley Hangman, sign me up. I don't care if Hangman wins because Hangman MJF, fantastic. Moxley MJF, fantastic. You want to throw all three of them in there, even better. We're making great stew here. The more, the better. But Hangman ends up with the win there. Good battle royal. They do a lot of battle royals, a lot of little weird tournaments and stuff, and this one come off pretty good. I liked it. The main event was Powerhouse Hobbs in a return match versus Ricky Starks. I still hold on to Ricky Starks. Is could have a good trajectory into becoming a Cody Rhodes-like wrestler. He's a really good wrestler now. He might be better than Cody when Cody was at that spot. But Ricky Starks ends up with the win here, as he should. Hobbs could take the loss because he had the dominant win before in like 3 minutes. I don't know if Hobbs and Starks have completely seen the end of each other, but it was a great match. When you see the matchup, it's Timon and Pumbaa, and it was actually really, really good. Let's go to Monday Night Raw. We open up with Seth Rollins versus Lashley for the United States title. Matt Riddle comes down and plays a part in it where Seth it ends up costing Seth the match. Lashley retains, and it looks like Seth and Riddle are still going to go at it. I still would like to know about the personal attacks that they used and they aired. I feel like that's probably part of it, but because I don't think Seth has kind of got to go off script like that. But you know, we'll see how that goes. But great win for Lashley. He needed a solid win over big competition because they just keep giving him so many random, goofy things and opponents that he needed somebody like that. Another swig of coffee. We got Damage Control who came out. You got Bianca, Asuka, and Alexa who come out to confront them. That's going to lead to some more stuff down the road that we will get to here shortly. On a different show. It'll be on this show, but we'll be talking about a different show. We get Theory versus Kevin Owens again. Theory, who is thinking of grabbing the briefcase to try to take out Kevin Owens, has a little issue with doing that because Johnny Wrestling Gargano, those known as Johnny G or Johnny Wrestling, comes out and he grabs the briefcase, makes sure that Theory cannot get it. This leads to a Kevin Owens victory. As it should. Theory's a great talent. But he is not KO and he is not Johnny Wrestling, so let's keep it at that. which those are going to be fantastic matchups when it's Johnny versus Theory, because now he gets his first name back. He's Austin Theory again. Good for Theory, though. You just got to keep going along with the program. You're not the golden child anymore. You should very much pick the brain of Drew McIntyre about what happens when you fall out of favor or things out of your control happen and you are no longer the golden child. Because I think Drew McIntyre is the guy you want to ask. Ridge Holland and Butch took on the Street Profits. We knew that they were going to win, the Battling Brutes, because they are the number one contenders for the Usos tag team title belts, and a good win over the Street Profits would help a young team, which it did. Good, solid match. I felt a little uneasy when Ridge picked up both Street Profits at the same time, one on each shoulder, and just powered it up in a squat, like a squat raise, because the last time he tried to do similar, his knee blew out, and the time before that, he tried to catch two guys diving out of the ring, and his knee blew out. So I was glad that nothing happened to Ridge. Butch just took over the match, and it was incredible. Incredible. They look really strong. They end up with the win. Judgment Day have a run-in with Riddle and Rey. That, of course, leads to Finn Balor and Damian Priest versus Rey Mysterio and Riddle. That Finn and Priest end up with the win. Of course, Rollins comes down and messes with Riddle to pay him back. And Dominic Mysterio plays a big part in foiling the plans of his dad, Rey. We're going to eventually see Rey versus Dom. Rey didn't want to ever see that. He's going to see that. I think it's going to be good for Dominic. I want to see him develop more. Right now, he's just quiet, brooding guy in the back. Kind of being puppeted by Rhea Ripley, which is fine. But I want to see more from him than just the non-reactions. I think he can do more. We get Miz TV. Of course, he's got Tommaso Ciampa out there with him. Not sure if Tommaso has that name or if it's just Ciampa, but either way. As Miz is talking, we see a giant machete come up and cut a hole out of the ring apron, to which Dexter Lumis sticks his head and torso, tries to drag the Miz, and then tries to grab Ciampa under the ring. It's a fun storyline, but I want to see where they're going with it, because they just keep doing these kind of shenanigans in different directions and different ways for him to, I don't want to say kidnap, because it's such a negative word, to drag somebody somewhere they don't want to go. Does that sound better? Either way. But when Lumis and the Miz finally chop it up, it's going to be fun, and I look forward to that. In all honesty, if they didn't already just do a strap match, that would be one where they can't run, or maybe a blindfold match. That's a hard match to do, but a blindfold match could be interesting. Finn Balor and AJ have a little bit of a run-in in the back, to where Finn says, I'm still regular Finn. I'm still your buddy, AJ. I'm still, you know, we're still on friendly terms, but you really should join us in the Judgment Day. It would make it super crowded and doesn't need to happen. AJ needs to do his own thing. Bayley took on Alexa Bliss. Fantastic match. It was a throwback to the many times they have faced off before. It looks like Alexa is basically fully back from her injury. Looks like Bayley is fully back from her injury. That only makes things more outstanding for the women's division. Bayley gets the win, as she should. She's about to be a top contender for the title, for Bianca's title, so you got to make her look good. Win over Alexa does that. Alexa still look good in doing it. Now, let's go to SmackDown, where we get the rare appearance from Roman Reigns and the Bloodline. This whole thing, this had me, I went through a range of emotions with this, because at one time Sammy grabs the microphone before they're all walking off, and he's like, Solo just did, now I acknowledge you, Roman. Roman says, what? This is not the time for this. He's like, no, I want to do this. I want to tell you, be an honorary member of an honorary Us, an honorary member of the Bloodline. I know I'm not family, but I just want to say I acknowledge you as the tribal chief. And to which Roman goes through an exchange where he basically says, he goes, why are you wearing the Bloodline shirt? You're not, take that shirt off, and you're not allowed to wear that. And I think it's Jay, whichever one has a problem with Sammy, went over there and ripped the shirt off of him, which was really demeaning. I didn't like it at all. I really thought Sami Zayn was either going to get jumped or kicked out of the Bloodline. And rightly so. And everybody really started to feel for Sammy. And Roman says, no, you're never allowed to wear that shirt again. To which they do such a good job with this. You feel so bad for Sammy. And it cuts back to Roman. And Roman grabs something from, I think Solo had it. And he says, you're not allowed to wear that shirt because you're wearing this one. And he tosses Sammy a black shirt with some red writing on it. And when Sammy looks at the shirt, his eyes light up like he got that bicycle at Christmas, like he got that Xbox, that silly putty. Let's give a shout out to the older people that listen to this. That thing you wanted the most at Christmas, and there it is. And he flips the shirt around, and it says Honorary Us, which is Sammy's new shirt. Holy cow. To be the heel faction, that arena lit up like the Christmas trees at the Rockefeller Center. It was just amazing. Absolutely amazing. And Sammy continues to wear his Honorary Us shirt everywhere, and what a great wrinkle into that storyline. They could eventually turn on him and kick him out at any time, but for now, he's the Honorary Us. Good for you, Sammy. Still I don't even know if it's probably. I think what Sammy's doing right now, in and out of the ring, whether it's his in-ring work, whether it's his expressions and his microphone work or his shenanigans, Sami Zayn might be the best overall talent in WWE right now, and I'd be willing to fight on a hill for that. I think what Sammy's doing is just off the charts great. Off the charts great. Speaking of which, we move to the SmackDown Women's Champion, Liv Morgan. She took on Lacey Evans. This was a really, really good match. Lacey is really good. Liv is just coming into her own as a great champion. I know they're just biding time till they do some stuff with Ronda. But Liv has been holding up her end of being a good champion and good ambassador for WWE. So shout out to her on that. And, of course, she beats Lacey in this. Lacey's not really going for anything right now. So this was a good win, good quality win. Hit Row, the Street Profits, and Shinsuke Nakamura were having fun. This little shindig in the back. They kept kind of going back and forth. Just a little party or something they're having back there. It didn't mean much. Just going to mention it just to mention it. Sami Zayn had a little run-in with Ricochet and Moss, and Solo Sikoa come to the back. Basically, Ricochet and Moss were like, oh, Sammy, I know we're boys and everything, but how you let them do this? And oh, man, how the mighty have fallen. And Solo took offense to it and slammed them both into some roll-up doors. And Sammy kind of backed him off at that point. But Zayn and Solo, I think Solo can learn a lot from his brothers and his cousin in the Bloodline. I think he can learn a lot more from Sami Zayn. And pairing him off is a great idea. The New Day took on Mansoor and Mace, otherwise known as the Maximum Male Models, and the New Day just beat the snot out of them. It was a New Day showcase. Braun Strowman took on Otis with Chad Gable. They're building up Otis, which I really like. Otis can more than hold his own with Braun. Braun is the better talent, but Otis power-wise, and even using his amateur background, he was giving Braun some fits on some stuff, and a really, really good match showing two powerhouses. We saw the Brawling Brutes fresh off their win. Drew McIntyre calls out Karrion Kross, to which he gets Scarlett and then Kross. And they kind of trade, slapping each other with the leather strap. It is going to be a strap match between those two. That's going to be fun because those two understand how those matches work. It's going to be really, really brutal. That should be a main event, in my opinion. And then Dakota Kai with Io Sky and Bayley took on Raquel Rodriguez with Shotzi in her corner. Raquel actually ends up with the win in this one, which was interesting. It's fun that they have damage control on both shows, and there are multiple storylines involving all three members. And then we get Ridge and Butch getting their tag team title shot. They had Sheamus on there, of course, versus the Usos. And in the end, the Usos do win, and Imperium come down and take out Sheamus, and that actually leads to the Usos win. But overall, fantastic stuff. And overall, a great SmackDown. Let's go to NXT. We just told you about Solo. Well, he had to give up his North American belt. There's going to be a tournament at Halloween Havoc in 6 weeks. This was Shawn Michaels who explained all this. Carmelo Hayes. Fascinates me that I can remember all these people. Carmelo Hayes says, okay, well, give me my title back. And Shawn says, not quite. You have the ability to qualify in and to be a part of that match at Halloween Havoc, but you're going to have to fight your way in. So that leads us to some stuff later on that we'll get to. Match two out of the three, because they're doing a best two out of three. Axiom took on Nathan Frazier. Axiom had won the first one, so we know Nathan Frazier won the second one. These two, man, I talked about earlier, two lightning bolts in a hamster ball. Yeah, that's what this was, and it was really, really good. They continue to trot out Alba Fire to remind us that she's still in the company, but they need to do something with her because she keeps coming out and keeps having these backstage videos, but they don't have her do much. So it's hard to believe her as a top contender. Toxic Attraction we're seeing backstage. And then, of course, we get Gigi Dolin and JC Jane, who took on Ivy Nile and Paxley. Of course, Gigi and JC get the win there, as they should. They've got to build them back up. They went through a weird skid where they were injured and then they got put in situations and it didn't come out on their end. They're a good team. And Ivy Nile and Paxley are going to be a good team down the road. But Gigi and JC are one of the best tag teams they have. Gacy was out there with his minions, as I call them, who took on Malik Blade and Idris Adolphe. Of course, the minions end up with the win there. Wendy Chu took on Cora Jade. I guess Wendy Chu is not facing Tiffany Stratton anymore. I would like to see them face other people anyway. So Wendy Chu had a great match with Cora Jade. Cora Jade ends up with the win. Last Legend come out and attack Wendy Chu for who knows what reason. Maybe she just wanted to be on the show. Maybe they'll explain it. Chase and Brody took on Trick and Carmelo, and Chase got the win over Carmelo, the straight-up win. Holy cow. Fantastic. Big moment, defining moment for Chase. Didn't hurt Carmelo much as far as his standing because we know he's still going to be in that big match. We got Sanga versus Von Wagner. They continue to feed big guys to Von Wagner, who ends up winning them, and then he stays in the same position on the card he is. He's just the big guy with the cool mouthpiece because his manager is fantastic. Rob, of course. We got Oro Mensah, who took on Grayson Waller, and Oro actually ends up with the win in this one. And this was a Halloween Havoc North American qualifier match, and Apollo Crews come down and distracted Waller a little bit, and Oro ends up with the win. I have no idea who Oro is. I will look more into it for next week, but he gets the win, and this was like an Impact Wrestling thing where random guy shows up and qualifies for a multi-man match a month from now. Yeah, NXT pulled an Impact Wrestling, and it helped the Waller-Apollo stuff, but beyond that, baffling. You see the Creed brothers in the back. They talk about one of them had their face messed up. and that he was looking for his revenge. So we'll see what it does with that. Once their backstage segments are weird. That I don't like the booking on them. Braun Breaker came out, and he came out with his title belt to do some commentary. But before he did, he came out with one of the Connor's Cure kids. I love when they do this. He let him hold up the belt. They do some fantastic stuff. That Connor's Cure stuff, man. That WWE is just ahead of the game on Make-A-Wish and all that. They're so much better than most with that. Another coffee sip. But we get Tyler Bate versus JD McDonagh. And these two used to face off a lot in NXT UK. They know each other really, really well. Tyler Bate is a fun talent. He reminds me of Tommaso Ciampa a little bit, just without the quickness and intensity, but the moveset and the mannerisms. JD McDonagh, though, he outshines the room in this situation. And he gets the big win, and he is standing next to Braun, and he is basically talking crap. I'm coming for that title. I'm coming for that title. That's what this was number one contender. And then we're interrupted as somebody's music hits. And who comes out? Ilya Dragunov. We've seen him 6 or 8 months ago where he had a random appearance in regular NXT. Well, it seems that he has made his way across the pond. And Ilya Dragunov is going to be added to the mix on NXT. That tells me some call-ups are probably coming soon because it's getting crowded. But that is all of the WWE action. I would say, once again, SmackDown's really come a long way. Raw has some good moments. NXT was probably the best of the lot of those. For AEW, I told you guys how good... How good Moxley versus Danielson was, and that probably stole the show for them. In other action, Impact Wrestling, I could tell you about what they did Thursday, but I would rather tell you about what they did Friday because they had Victory Road, their pay-per-view, which is going to lead into... What is their next pay-per-view? It is Bound for Glory. Yep, that's the one I went to years ago here in Atlanta. You can actually see me. It's the one with the main event of Sting against Kurt Angle, I believe. And me and a good friend of mine are about second row. And kind of hard to miss. Especially they do some of the chants, like Holy poop, and boy, it zeros in on us. And now he was saying, do not quit. I will say that. He was not saying holy poop like I was. He was chanting, do not quit. He was trying to let the participants know that you do not quit. And fantastic job with him on that. As far as Victory Road, we open up with Mike Bailey defending the X Division Championship against Delirious. If you know who Delirious is, you may not be familiar with Ring of Honor and a lot of his work. He has been wrestling for over 20 years. He is very unorthodox. I think he's from the Netherlands. Doesn't wear shoes. Looks kind of crazy looking. Unbelievable talent. Unbelievable talent. Him and Mike Bailey did some just fantastic stuff in this one. Of course, Mike Bailey ends up with the win in a good 10-minute match. It was good and solid. It really picked up towards the end. It tended to be the overwhelming theme of the night that these matches were good and then picked up and finished great. We see the Motor City Machine Guns picked up a good win over PCO and Vincent. I mean, come on. Established tag team. One of the best tag teams on the planet against two random guys from a faction. PCO and Vincent, now they kind of do team and one-off things like that, but in the end, Motor City Machine Guns get the win there. That helps them going. The theme of the night, too, was a lot of the challengers for the belts coming up at Bound for Glory had some pretty good nights, and they are going for the tag belts, so they looked pretty good here. We get Mickie James versus Giselle Shaw. I thought Mickie James was going to win the whole time. She did. Giselle Shaw is a fantastic talent. She just doesn't have the clout of Mickey right now, but having matches like she did with Mickey James should show Impact Wrestling that she should be more involved with some of the bigger storylines, because she's good enough to do that. She's definitely good enough to hang up there with them. We get a triple threat revolver match. The stuff they come up with and Impact is just, I really think there's a dartboard with random words on it. They just throw enough darts so they come up with a way to do a new match. Basically, of the people I'm about to name, you start with three people in the match as a triple threat. If you get pinned or submitted, if you lose the fall of any kind, you are out, and the next random person comes out until all people are out, and you get a winner at the end. Here are the people involved. Mia Yim, Laredo Kid, Trey Miguel, Alex Zane, Kenny King, Yuya Uemura, he's from New Japan, Frankie Kazarian, and Black Taru. And the winner of this is going to face Speedball Mike Bailey at Bound for Glory for the belt. Now, I could make 1,000 references and 1,000 different cases for who could win this match. And then they pulled the one that I didn't think would happen. And it's not because of lack of talent, because this guy is an all-worldly talent. He's been doing it 25 or so years probably. But who wins this match? Frankie Kazarian, the Kaz. Kaz wins this one. Good win by Frankie. He is going to face Speedball Mike Bailey at Bound for Glory. That is going to be a all-world classic. Bobby Fish randomly showed up, and Shara and Raj Singh ended up picking a fight with him that I'm sure we'll see more of down the road. But if Bobby Fish is in Impact Wrestling, then Impact Wrestling got better. He is a fantastic talent. I am a big Fish fan, and you will be too. And it seemed like the audience loved him. When he came out, they erupted. They stayed on his side the entire time. Even when mid-level heels picked a fight with him, they were 100% behind him. And I can't wait to see Bobby Fish in an Impact Wrestling ring again. We got Josh Alexander and Rich Swann and Heath, who teamed up against Honor No More, which was Eddie Edwards, Matt Taven, and Mike Bennett, with the lovely Maria Kanellis at ringside. This was the back and forth battle we thought it would be. This was the little bit of the war. This is just another battle in the war. In the end, Eddie hit the Boston Knee Party and the Die Hard Driver and got the pin on Alexander, which just leads into their Bound for Glory match, where, who knows, maybe Eddie wins. But we'll talk more about it as it gets closer. Mickey James sees Mia Yim in the back, says how much she respects her, blah, blah, blah. I'll save you about 5 minutes, and I'll say, hey, at Bound for Glory, Mia Yim versus Mickey James, that's going to be a classic. Definitely check that out. We get Jordan Grace versus Max the Impaler with Father James Mitchell. The fact that James Mitchell's still out there is awesome. Guy is very, very good at what he does. And Max the Impaler, if you're not familiar with her, look her up. She is another all-world talent that has a unique style all her own. And she was one of the few people who can go power for power with Jordan Grace. This was a power battle, ultimately won by Jordan Grace in the end. But she gave her, Max the Impaler gave Jordan a run to where you weren't sure if Jordan could pull it out, but she did. And then she gets on the mic, Jordan Grace does, and she goes, all right, well, Masha picked Max to face me, and so in turn, I'm going to find somebody to face her. She says, you are going to face Ellie Catch. You guys are going to like Ellie Catch. Everybody cheered, and she said it's going to be a Monsters Ball match, and it's going to be this week on Impact. That will be tomorrow night. I cannot wait. That's going to be fantastic. On Access Television, that's going to be fun. I'm not usually big into weapons matches and Monster Balls matches that involve the females, but Masha and this girl are going to destroy everybody and everything near ringside. So definitely want to watch that one. And then we get our main event, Sami Callihan versus Moose versus Steve Maclin in a barbed wire massacre match. If you are into these style matches, if you're into the gore and the just crazy squeamish moments, this match was for you. Sammy's never afraid to go there. Moose is getting to where he's showing he can go there, and Maclin was the star of the night. Through all the pain and the scars probably and everything, 26 minutes later in a barbed wire match, there's no telling how much blood they lost, Steve Maclin is your winner. It's just, it was violent. It was gory. It was still pretty good. Pretty good. Overall, this was a good, solid, like, card. Victory Road was very, very good. Impact Wrestling has always had the roster, especially now. They're loaded everywhere, and they're starting to put them in the right places. They're growing up before our eyes, boys and girls. They're showing that they can be a top promotion because they're booking right. I don't know if they've changed their booking up or if they decided to do the opposite of what they normally do, but this was really good. Really good. You had, you know, Delirious had a good moment. Maclin had his moment at the end. Bobby Fish coming out. I mean, there's just a lot of really, really good stuff that happened at Victory Road. And so they start the road to Bound for Glory, which is coming up very, very soon. So that only leaves us with one last one, and I know we are super long on tonight's episode. I appreciate you guys tuning in with us. So much to talk about. That leaves us with New Japan. And this week, we got to see Okada versus Tama Tonga. Tama Tonga, man, his solo work has come so far, and it's so, so good. But he could not top Okada in this one. I bet he can somewhere down the road. And then Tetsuya Naito. Yep, remember? My nephew, Archer, he loves him some Naito. I love Naito as well. But also a big fan of the guy he went against, Will Ospreay. Those are two of the best talents on the planet. One day I'll make a list of current favorites on the planet. Will Ospreay ends up with the victory over Naito, and he calls out Okada. Yeah, a lot of people do, but here's what he says. He says, you know, everybody says Okada's the best. Everybody cheers. And he said, you could say that. He is the best. But, and he starts naming people that have beaten Okada. And Ospreay has not beaten Okada yet, but I believe they're going to face off in the finals of the tournament. And he said, even my opponent, Naito, has beaten Okada before. Now it is my turn. So if we get Okada versus Ospreay, take my money. Sign me up. I cannot wait. Cannot wait for that one. Overall, massive action. You know, obviously next week we'll have the results from Bellator 286 and from UFC Fight Night. We'll have the results from all the wrestling action as well. But that is going to do it for us this week. It's been another great edition of Strong Style. I am Jeremy the Impact York. Go watch wrestling. Go watch fighting. Deuces, gooses. Make sure to check out our friends at betonline.net. See you.